You are listening to the Crazy Town Podcast, Season 2, Episode 15, with Jonas and TNT Dynamite. TNT, question for you, man.
What you got?
Are you a toilet paper over or under sort of guy? Wow, silence.
Yeah, you know, it was rough. It was a tough question because I was thinking in my mind I could troll him and say under. But I'm not going to do that.
Oh, you're not.
I'm definitely an over guy.
You're an over guy?
Yeah, why are we even having this conversation?
Wow.
Everybody's an over person. If you're under, you're wrong.
Wow. Should I tell you how I feel about it?
You're a sensible and affable individual. Wow. I think that you are an over guy.
What if
well.
I was an under? How would you feel about
you're
that?
You're not, though.
What if I was?
You'd hide it like you do.
Like, I kind of want to say I'm an under. I'm going to start doing under now just because. We've got to be different.
Whatever.
Okay. I'm an over guy, too.
Exactly.
But we actually officially have an answer on the way it was meant to be done.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Yeah, someone looked back at the original patent from 1891 for perforated toilet paper. The patent states the holders are a means to prevent free unwinding of the roll and cause the sheets to separate singly at their connecting points. In this patent, there was a drawing of how the toilet paper should be on the thing, and it was hanging over.
Damn right it was.
So, I guess you're right.
Yo, who uses only one sheet of toilet paper? Like, what does one sheet do?
No, I think you misunderstood what I was saying.
No, but I'm saying the fact that it's perforated in such a fashion.
Oh, like where it's like 4x4?
A single square, yeah. Who uses one square?
Could you even wipe your ass with one single square?
My asshole is bigger than one square.
Wow. You've been doing some
stuff. It's a birth defect. Shut up. I'm kind of sensitive about it.
All right. Well, now that we've settled the age-old TP debate for you, enjoy the show, everybody. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Crazy Town Podcast. My name is Jonas, I'm your host, and I'm here with
TNT Dynamite, the explosive one. TNT, D-I-N-O-M-I-G-H-T.
Wow, yeah. You're getting all fancy with it today.
A little extra in there for you today.
All right, well, I do want to thank you all for listening. Make sure, if you haven't subscribed yet to our YouTube channel, it's Crazy Town Media.
Yeah.
All sorts of random shit going on over there.
Way to sell it.
It's the best gaming videos you'll ever see in your life.
Goddamn right it is.
Also, if you aren't following us on Twitter, it's at the Crazy Town Pod for the podcast and at Crazy Town Media for everything else. If you do not follow us right now, by the time I'm done speaking this, Grandma will not take you to the Banjo Museum next weekend.
But Steve Miller's statue just went up, Grandma, please.
He doesn't play banjo.
Does he?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Dean Steve Martin.
Steve Martin plays banjo?
Yes, he does.
Oh, okay,
very
cool.
Good band, actually.
All right. And as always,
I fucked a joke up.
The cornucopia of continuous information, thecrazytown.com. TNT.
Oh.
We have a nice little show going today.
Do we?
Yeah, we got a... PJ Stover's going to join us for an interview a little later.
Oh, yeah, the voice lady.
Yeah, she does voice work. She's also a former daredevil.
Oh.
She was on the radio for many years.
Wrestled.
Yeah, she's got a lot of
she wrestled.
She wrestled a little bit. Got a lot of cool stuff to talk to her about. That'll be here in a little while. Also, we got some crazy shit going on. You know, crazy stories, crazy news. The world. All the crazy shit about the world.
Wouldn't expect anything less.
But... are you ready to drop some knowledge on these hoes?
I mean, no, but yes.
Wow.
Let's fucking go.
Wow, okay.
Let's go.
It's time for TNT's word of the day, yep. Which you don't have.
I don't even have a phone, but let's go. Word for today is esoteric.
Esoteric. How do you spell that?
Esoteric.
It wants the definition.
Esoteric is when a person says something that is only known by a certain grouping of people.
Almost like an inside joke, but not a funny thing.
It's something like that, but it's more like when we say pop. And people in the South look at us like we're crazy.
Okay.
Or if we say open house. It's esoteric to people of that, of like.
The people who are around there would know what the fuck
you're
talking
about.
Or like
when we have like inside jokes and we're laughing at it and nobody else on the podcast.
Okay. Or almost like if you're in like, say, the medical field and you're using medical terms or whatever and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. It's esoteric to the medical community. All right. Fair enough. Look at you coming through in the clutch.
Yeah, I know a few of them.
You know a few of them? All right. I got you. All right. Well, cool. Can you use that in a sentence?
Yes.
Put you on the spot.
Daddy, I would like some sausage. If you don't know where that's from, that's an esoteric joke.
Okay. All right. I guess that would work. Anyways, we're going to jump right into it today.
Professionals!
You are a professional. All right. We're going to jump right into it today. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about AI taking over the world. We've touched on this a couple times.
We're just going to just beat our listeners down with like doomsday fucking.
You know what? We're on a trend right now, and I'm gonna keep it up for at least for this episode.
You're all going to die, and we're going to prove it today.
Okay. So we've talked previously about AlphaZero and AlphaGo.
Yeah.
And actually, Elon Musk.
I'm shaking my head.
Every time.
Shaking it.
He actually touched on this in a speech he did at South by Southwest here in Austin. Basically, they're AI that can learn computer games. Basically, good enough to beat the world champion human in like 4 hours. It teaches itself to be better than a human. This story is a legal-based AI firm called LawGeeks, LawGeeks. Look at that fucking hipster-ass way to spell it.
Super hipster.
They did a study. They used it did in conjunction with professors from Stanford, Duke Law, and USC in California. So, I mean, there were some legitimate schools involved in this trial. Okay.
Sounds all right so far.
So what they did with this AI program was they trained it to evaluate legal contracts. So they would it would read through a legal document, and then they put them up against 20 experienced human attorneys. They did a competition.
Oh my God. Definitely get a computer lawyer.
Oh, right? So, okay, how this worked was the competitors were given 4 to 5 hours. No, I'm sorry. The competitors were given 4 hours to review 5 non-disclosure agreements and identify 30 legal issues, including arbitration, confidentiality of the relationship, indemnification. And then they were scored about how accurately they identified each issue, because they were obviously known issues in these contracts. What do you think? How do you think?
I'm thinking that the computer fucking probably blew them.
Well, I guess I wouldn't be talking about the story if the humans won, right?
I'm thinking that somehow the humans ended up going to jail. All of them.
All of a sudden, they're just in jail. So the human lawyers, they scored an average of 85% accuracy, which is kind of low, I think, right? Like if you're a lawyer, like going through a contract, I don't want you missing 15% of the errors. And they took an average of 92 minutes to evaluate each contract. The top score on any contract from a human was 97%.
What?
So no human got a perfect score on any contract they looked at.
Oh, but that 97% guy was pretty damn good, right?
I know, right? So are you ready for the AI?
It got 100%, man. Come on.
The average score for the AI was 95% accurate. It took them 26 seconds on average to go through a contract.
Yo, it's crazy that lawyers' jobs are now in danger.
Right. And the top score by an AI was 100% accuracy. Wow. So if they averaged 95, they probably had numerous.
Yeah.
So 10% higher accuracy and over 90 minutes faster per contract compared to the attorney. These are experienced lawyers. These aren't like I just graduated the bar yesterday or passed the bar yesterday. So an attorney in the study said, This is very similar to what attorneys do every day. The quote says, the majority of documents, whether it's wills, operating agreements for corporations, or things like NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, they're very similar. This guy's name was Gulvson, and he told Mashable this in a phone interview. So is this the end of lawyers?
Hey, man, they better watch out.
Right,
they
right.
Took over the automotive industry, and now it's time for them to take over law.
There's another quote. This is by Erica Buell. She was a professor at Duke University's law school who LawGeeks consulted for the study. She says, having the AI do a first review of an NDA, much like having a paralegal issue spot, would free up valuable time for lawyers to focus on client counseling and other higher value work. So essentially, they can have a computer do the review faster and then still charge you the same amount of money to review your contract. Because right now they're having their paralegals do it, who they're paying to do this.
Yeah.
And then they spot touch it after the paralegal looks through it. But if a computer's doing it, they don't even have to pay the fucking computer.
Oh, they're saying that they might like put them in law offices so that the lawyer could utilize them.
Right. So a lawyer needs to go over this NDA. He puts it through the computer program rather than having him do it or the paralegal do it. And it frees them up to do other work that is more important than like reading through a contract.
But then wouldn't somebody just come along, streamline it and just throw it on the internet like TurboTax?
Well, right. Absolutely. I fully believe, you know, it's like, or it would like somehow like the Russians would hack it and then it would like start like, I'm just joking. But I don't know, man. It's pretty like what Elon talked about was how dangerous.
His name is Elon. Continue your point, but go ahead.
Is that it's AI is getting increasingly smarter at a ridiculous pace that if we don't regulate what the fuck is going on,
reel it in,
that, you know what I mean? Before we are able to regulate it, there's going to be killer robots, man. Or they're going to be something crazy. And I think once we cross that point of no return, we can't go back.
We can't go back?
Because once the technology is out there, even if they say – even if like say, for example, let's just say a random country like China creates a AI bot that's capable of like aggression and war or whatever. Okay, then NATO steps in and is like, sorry, China, we're going to kibosh this program. We need this worldwide. This is no good. We're going to outlaw it. You don't think some motherfucker is going to have that code somewhere that isn't part of a government? Or like fucking Russia, you know what I mean? They're shady. They like do shady shit. Like, we deleted that. Don't worry. Then they're secretly making like...
Yeah, you know, and I guess thinking at it from a world standpoint, I mean, I'm 100% American, so I was thinking, like, all we got to do is just not give them guns.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess the rest of the world, they don't have the same sanctions, and they're just as intelligent, if not more, in some cases.
Well, right. And NATO, I mean, NATO can police the world, but look at North Korea. Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll do this stuff so you can give us breaks. We'll definitely get rid of our nuclear program. And then, like, 2 weeks later, they're, like, testing bombs.
You can't control what they're doing.
And right.
They have different beliefs than us.
Right. Exactly. So.
But yeah, essentially, I think the problem would start is if we made like bodyguards or like even like home defense systems.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They use like actual weapons.
Almost like an AI butler, but slash like he'd be like a defense, like just a robot for the house.
Yeah.
But once you put the aggressive or the defensive gene in that, wouldn't even be a gene, code, it changed. You know what I mean? They don't have emotion to tell them what they should do.
Yeah.
So once they're like, this is an intruder, kill, like your mother-in-law comes in unexpected, he doesn't know who the fuck she is, bam, he fucking murders her in the house because she thinks she's an intruder.
I'm just thinking an AI with a gun is something I don't want, because I think that AI is constantly doing the algorithm, how can I take out the entire human race with this clip.
Here's the other part of this. Do they need a gun? If an AI catches you and puts their robot hands on you, they could crush your fucking neck.
It's dependent on how the machine is made. If it's not,
if they have a grip and they can grip your neck, it's over, dude.
Dude, you're thinking like Terminator.
Yeah,
but like what robots we have right now.
Well, right. Obviously, we're years away from this, but it all starts with one thing, and then
I don't think a robot lawyer is the end of the world, is the harbinger of death.
No.
I don't think that AlphaGo beating somebody in chess is like that's the horsemen of the apocalypse.
I 100% agree with you, but I can see the forest through the trees of where it's going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, we'll start them out with being able to play chess. Ha ha, that's fun. We can all play chess together. Oh, yeah, we're going to read these contract tracks. That's cool. We'll have them be your McDonald's teller. Then next thing you know, they're like fucking sending robots to space and shit. Oh, and like, yeah, man, shit's going to get
there. It's going to get there, too.
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad that I'm not like 20 right now.
I'm glad that I am 20 right now.
You are 20. You're 20.
Yeah, we'll definitely be dead before the AI uprising.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we don't have any children, so we don't have to worry about that.
Suckers.
Okay, so here, this next one I want to talk about, it touches home to you.
Is it a lawn again?
No, it has nothing to do with a lawn. It has to do with your buddy, Alexa.
Oh, my door's closed. She didn't hear you.
She's like,
she's always listening.
She's like, what did you need? You're like, so
you rang.
So people obviously are already suspicious about them, yeah. You know, because they do listen. Like, I mean, that one day you were looking in your phone and you heard recordings of us talking and asking it to do stuff. It holds the recordings of us talking about it.
It does.
And there's been plenty of times it's in your bedroom. We're sitting in the living room talking about something. We say something stupid about Alexa and she replies and we're in the next fucking room. So how sensitive is that microphone?
You got to stop saying her name so loud. She's going to think you want something. She's right over there, dude. Stop.
Okay. So people were reviewing patents by Google and Apple. Mm-hmm. Or I'm sorry, Google and Amazon. I said Apple. And they found some disturbing things listed in these patents.
Dun, dun, dun.
And this is a quote here. It says, study of the patent applications filed by Amazon and Google with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office reveals a vision for an Orwellian future in which digital assistants eavesdrop on everything from confidential conversations to your toilet flushing habits to children's movements and books on the bedside table. It says the patents reveal devices possibly use surveillance equipment for mass information collection and intrusive digital advertising. Sounds like fucking Facebook right here, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah. So John Simpson, I think he's Homer's brother.
I was thinking that fucking joke too, dude. Good job.
He is the consumer watchdog. This website, I saw this article on, it's Consumer Watchdog.
Yeah.
He's their privacy and technology prospect director. He warns that Google and Amazon executives want you to think they're there to help you at the sound of your voice, but they're all about snooping and gathering information. So amongst the things in this patent, it says the assistants can be awake even when users think they aren't listening. They're supposed to wait for a wake word, hence Alexa or OK Google, but they actually listen the entire time they are turned on.
Mm.
It says Amazon envisioned Alexa using info to build profiles to sell you products. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all kind of already know you search something on your phone or you talk about something and then all of a sudden advertising for that pops up.
To a certain extent, yeah. I do feel that way.
So like, you should pay attention to that. Obviously when you're in your bedroom, you're not really talking a lot. But if you happen to talk about something, like say you're playing a game with someone and you're talking, you should pay attention because she's linked to your phone. If all of a sudden shit starts popping up, start talking about weird shit in there. Start talking about like salad shooters and fucking waffle makers and shit and see if that shit starts popping up on your phone.
I mean, just
random shit that you normally would never talk about and see if then you start getting ads for it. Huh. Obviously, if you search it on Google, it's in your search history. So that's all like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Just be like, oh man, I really love waffle makers. And like, see if she's like, if it pops up.
So what you're trying to tell me right now is that Google is the Antichrist.
I'm getting through it, man. We're Google and Amazon and Facebook. I think all this shit, I think it's going to come out just like Facebook got
busted. That they've been listening to us the entire time.
Yep. It says the other patent is for an algorithm that can identify statements of interest. So this is why I was kind of saying the waffle thing. So the example is if you say, I love skiing. It would recognize that I love is a statement of interest. So then it would use that to target you for skiing advertisements because it heard you say something like, oh, I love a good book. Then it starts giving book advertisements or, you know what I mean? Or, oh, I love spaghetti. Then it's like Spaghetti Warehouse fucking.
I'm getting pissed.
Well, right.
I'm getting a little pissed.
Now, these are just applications in the patents. These aren't, it doesn't mean they're doing this, but it just means that this is something. It says, The second part, they can connect to other internet-enabled home systems to monitor family member habits and infer what they are doing. So what that means is the Google patent app describes using it to monitor and control screen time, hygiene habits, meal and travel schedules, and other activity. It says it can infer mischief based on audio and motion sensor readings from rooms where children are present.
It can incur mischief?
Infer mischief.
Infer mischief.
So it can understand what's being said in understand
in a mischievous fashion.
Right, I guess. And then it says, devices are envisioned as a part of a surveillance web in the home to chart families' patterns so they can be marketed for interests. Google connects its home, in quotes, to various other smart devices, thermostats, lighting, made by Alphabet. They have a division called Nest, which makes home things like...
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah.
They make, like, thermometers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, when connected...
No. Keep going. I just realized.
When connected, they can be aware if people are home, sleeping, cooking, hanging out, watching TV, even when you shower or flush the toilet, according to this patent, depending on these smart devices, how many you have and how integrated Google Home gets with your thermostat. Because obviously, you know, a lot of people, when they're not home, they turn their thermostat up because they don't want to waste energy cooling an empty house, things like that.
Oh, my God. I always wanted that, too. I'd be like, it'd be cool to control my lights with Alexa.
Right. And then another Google patent outlines ways it could collect info about family members' interests and activities to infer likely purchases. And the example is, like, some of these things have cameras. So it says, like, sports could be marketed to a 15-year-old boy if the camera picks up him holding a basketball in the living room.
Not putting any cameras in the house.
No, right. And then it describes how Google could infer Will Smith. Wait, what the fuck? Oh, okay. Infer, like, that you have interest in Will Smith by combining a browser search history with, like, an image from, like, somebody has on their T-shirt that's caught on the camera.
Yeah. Like that bright T-shirt that I have.
Right. Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that could be.
The bright poster that I have on my wall.
Because you're a huge Will Smith fan.
I'm a huge bright fan.
Yeah. So it describes how it could sell you a TV show by spying on a book sitting on your nightstand. Because the camera could catch the book that's sitting on your nightstand. It says the answers to these questions may help third parties benefit consumers by providing them with interesting information, products and services.
No.
As well as providing them with targeted advertisements, exactly. The patent application claims. The biggest issue with what this is that when the data is compiled, that others can potentially access it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what just happened with Facebook.
And
because
what was it, the tax one?
Oh, I don't know.
What happened before that one?
Well, this is almost exactly. It says, for example, home insurers and utility companies have already made deals with Nest to put smart devices in companies' home. Mm-hmm. But so basically, what can really happen is kind of like what happened with this big giant Facebook thing. Like, they allow people to take the data, but then they say their responsibility ends there until this big Facebook shit happened that now they're like, oh, you didn't monitor what this company did with all this fucking data that they had from you?
What happened with the Facebook thing?
You don't.
I don't know if all of our listeners know because I don't really know.
It's a big story. So basically, there was a company who has now, they're investigating them now. They're like a propaganda company, essentially. And they said they worked with Trump. So they worked with like Ted Cruz, like other people, where they had put out one of those stupid surveys on Facebook, like what's your personality type or whatever.
Okay.
But in the agree to take the survey was that they could harvest your data from your Facebook profile. But in that also, they could also harvest the data of all of your friends. So you taking the survey said it was okay for them to harvest my data. Well, they were supposed to not give this data to other people and delete it, but they didn't. And so
that data's worth a pretty penny.
There's rumors that they use that data to influence the election. Things like that. Right. So maybe it wasn't even the Russian hackers.
So essentially, they can...
it's a propaganda machine.
So essentially, Alexa, Google, Amazon, whatever, is taking our information, and there's a chance that they might sell it or may end up in the wrong hands.
Or using it to manipulate the public's opinion.
Yeah.
To vote somebody into office or whatever, because they know what triggers are going to cause people to feel a certain way. And
that is too much, man.
Right. It says law enforcement.
Google, what are you doing?
I know, man.
We trusted you for so long.
Well, that's how people, I think, feel about Facebook right now. Like, I mean, Google hasn't been caught yet, but I'm sure it's coming. I mean, hey, just trying to be real about it, man. Not like, I'm not a law enforcement is already seeking info from smart devices. It says an Amazon Echo made headlines when police investigating a crime scene wanted to subpoena recordings made by the device.
Oh, yeah.
In the same case, investigators were able to obtain data from a smart water meter that suggested the crime scene had been hosed down before police arrived. So they saw that all of a sudden, at this certain time, a bunch of water was used through this smart water meter that's connected to the internet.
What the fuck?
So now they're like, okay, the crime happened at 8:30. Why the fuck was there 200 gallons of water used between 8:30 and 9 o'clock? Something happened. You hosed the crime scene down. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Right.
You can't get away with shit anymore.
Right. It says hackers and identity thieves could also end up accessing this stuff. So like the hacker gets into your home thermos, I mean, whatever. Here's my fear is everything's going to be so ingrained in the internet that people are going to be able to hack shit and fuck with like your home, like your, you know what I mean? Like it's going to become, the more things that get intertwined in the internet, the more people are going to be able to take over your entire life.
Exactly.
Which is scary to think
about.
Because
when you go digital, you give people access to it.
Right.
Essentially.
Exactly. Which is like, well, and here's the thing that's kind of fucked up. The farther away we get from it, we're not there yet. Like when millennials are grandparents, right? Mm. So another 2 decades, basically.
Sorry.
Something like that. 2 generations, I mean, I'm sorry. Those children will be so far removed from an analog anything, they will have no idea how to do anything on their own. The millennials now already have a hard time with like doing things. I'm not saying that they're stupid or anything like that. Just,
yeah, you leave us alone.
Like a millennial, like I saw like an example is like a millennial tried to use a rotary phone.
Yeah.
No fucking clue how to use it. Like what if like they had to go and harvest their own wood? I mean, like it's just, you get so far removed from like physical activity to like be productive, or how to write a ledger, how to fucking manage your checkbook, how to do accounting without Excel.
But I mean, I feel you there. But I don't think we're going back that far. If we do,
but what? No, but
we got bigger problems.
No, my point. I haven't got to my point yet. So they're that far removed. So everything's going to be so ingrained. Everyone's going to be so far removed. What if a group of Russian hackers decide to fucking knock out the fucking internet, kill it?
Why they got to be Russians?
Because they're the ones doing all the shady shit.
Floridian hackers,
right? Someone decides to do something and it maims the internet. Even to say it knocks it out for a month because they fuck it up so bad that they have to rebuild everything. What the fuck? Could you imagine the internet without the internet for a month right now? Imagine what it's going to be like in 30 years.
I would not make it.
Well, right. Nobody would. And in 30 years, it's going to be even worse than it is now. Because people aren't going to know how to function without it. At least now, there's enough people alive that functioned without the internet that if it went away for any extended period of time, we could function for a while. But in 30 years, all of us are going to be dead, and millennials will be the oldest people around. They don't know how to do anything either.
I feel like for us right now, if we lost the internet, it would be of inconvenience.
Right.
I could definitely see how it would be like debilitating because like brick and mortar stores are dropping everywhere,
right,
man.
Right.
All of these places are closing. You got to order your shit off the internet if you want anything that you want.
That's what I mean. Give it 30 years.
Yeah, fucking getting groceries is becoming more and more online. So grocery stores are going to stop. Like at least the grocery stores.
Right. It'll be Walmart or have a big giant distribution center. You order your order online. They bring it to your house.
Exactly.
Right. So you can't go to the brick and mortar.
I don't know if that's necessarily...
Right.
40 years down the line, 50 years
down the
line.
Whatever. But, eventually, it's going to come to the point where it went away, the world would fucking... And that may be our great filter. Wow.
What are you trying...
Tie-in!
Last episode, great filter, Fermi project resolution issues.
Yeah, and then here's another thing. The Google... Because it says, the Google Home frequently asked questions. even says, anyone who is near your Google Home device can request information from it. And if you've given Google Home access to your calendars, Gmail, or other personal information, people can ask your Google Home device about your information. Google Home also gets information about you from other interaction with Google services. So people, yeah, so.
And I, you know what, it seems to me like that's a great thing on a certain level of like, if I like something, yeah, then I definitely want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it would help to integrate it into your home where it just like it knows you. Like if I come home at 5 o'clock, man, I want music on. And if I walked in the door and they started playing something I like to hear when I go off work, that'd be great.
Oh, right, right, right. Or like you get home and the house is already a crisp, cool, whatever temperature you want, yeah, but during the day it automatically goes
the
up.
The lighting's just the way I like right, it at right. a certain hour.
Yeah, you walk in the door, they're already playing your favorite song. Exactly. You know what I mean?
That sounds great.
Like, right. Like you put the food in the oven, yeah. It turns it on a certain time and boom, it's cooked when you walk in the door. What, I mean, right. Just random shit like Jetson shit. But here, and all of this shit is great in theory, here's where it goes bad. Greed and the human condition.
Yeah.
Fucks it all up, man.
Yeah.
Because everybody's got to try to work the system to whatever, to make some extra money, whatever. Greed.
We need AI bureaucrats.
Yeah.
AI president.
We need fucking Handsome Jack from Borderlands 2 to come in this bitch.
That's an esoteric.
Yeah, I know, right? All right. That is all I'm going to talk about AI fucking taking over the world.
Well, man. I mean,
this shit is fucking real, though.
I know, and you're on it, too.
Dude, I keep coming across
this
stories.
Is an episode and a half.
Dude, I keep coming across every day. I come across more and more stuff that's fucked up about like AI or whatever. And since we've been talking about it before, I'll just keep bringing it up, man. Yeah, I mean, let people know about it, you know?
Yeah.
So, with that being said, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and we'll have our interview with PJ Stover on the Crazy Town Podcast.
Where am I?
And we are back on the Crazy Town Podcast with a very special guest, PJ Stover. She is a voiceover artist and has a lot of cool other stuff she's done in her past. So why don't you go and say hello to everybody?
Hi, I'm very special, huh?
Wow. Yeah. Definitely. You want to go ahead and let everybody know where they can find some of your things on the interwebs, like on your website or Twitter or whatever?
Yeah, everywhere. Just put in PJ's Voices and I will come up, or PJ Stover, PJsVoices.com.
Okay. All right. And then you you can be hired to do any voiceover work, graphics or animation, things like that as well?
Yep, everything is on my website. I do over 50 voices, character voices, from kids and, you know, old men, old ladies, everything, and regular voice as well.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I know you've done a lot of things in your past. Starting off, you said that you had used to be a pro wrestler, like back in the day?
Yeah. Oh, I've done a lot of things in my past, just like you. You've done a lot of things in your past.
Yes, I have.
You don't know half the story there.
Yeah, I don't think I want to know. But I started out as a professional wrestler, and I worked at I worked with Jim Carrey on Man on the Moon, wrestling him. You could actually see me in that one. And I did a bunch of stunt work for 25 years. But yeah, I started out when I was 17 as a wrestler.
Okay, and what do you remember the name of the promotion that you worked for?
You mean Screen Actors Guild?
No, the wrestling promotion that you
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That was AWWF, American Women Wrestling Federation. Yeah. In fact, you could look that up on IMDb and on YouTube. You just put in AWWF and I come up.
What was your wrestling persona? What was your name?
Kitten Steel.
Kitten Steel?
Steel, that's awesome.
Yo, that's
meow. Meow, meow. So yeah, I'm dumb.
So, what made you want to try pro wrestling at such a young age? Like, what made you get into that?
I kind of fell into it. Get it? No, okay.
How do you fall All right. into wrestling?
No, I was a gymnast when I was really young. Oh. So when I saw an ad, God, I was like 15, and I saw 16, I saw an ad, and it said, looking for wrestlers. And I went, really? But without the internet back then, it was kind of, you know, something we all did. We looked on papers in magazines and stuff to find jobs. And I went to the audition and it was sure enough a big deal. So, I mean, I learned back then from top wrestling people that are in stunt world today. I don't know if they're really there anymore. They're kind of old now, but, but yeah, their names are still out there and people do know who they are. So.
Well, that's awesome. Now, like, I kind of always tell people that wrestling is kind of like a live stunt show. So is that kind of what sparked you to move from, like, wrestling into stunt work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. The wrestling was stunt work. With all the stuff, if you were going to watch some of the wrestling today or even back then, you'd see a lot of stunts happening. People do get hurt, you know, and I did flips, front flips, back flips from the tops of the ropes, things like that. So it's all stunts involved. The way you fall, the way you do a flip, the way somebody else takes you on or you lift them, it's all stunt. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's all choreographed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're ruining
it. Oh,
spoiler alert.
I'm so sorry.
Childhood.
Now, did you happen to win any titles or anything during your time at the wrestling promotion?
It wasn't like that for the females. It was just all, you know, it was just all put together.
I got you. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, because back then females weren't very prominent in wrestling as they are today. You know, now they have, you know, just as much time as the men sometimes. So
Did you ever meet we were part of. We had the Glow Girls. We were a competition with the Glow Girls back then.
Okay, so they've kind of come into you know, they kind of did that series on Netflix about the Glow.
Yes.
So that was around the same time, but you were in a rival.
Yes,
the
Glow Girls were not real wrestlers. They were just pretty girls that wanted to do something. I hate to even say that because I know somebody's going to, but it's very true. We had real stunt people, you know, with us that were actually training us, and we had some real top of the line. They did not. They had people that, you know, just got up there and kind of. God,
just
kind of
did their thing. Oh, that's all right. That's all right. But so you said you worked. Is there any big name people that you worked with back then? People would know their name, like just by saying who they were.
Yeah, Gene LaBelle. Gene LaBelle is a big kind of wrestler guy in Hollywood. He's been doing, oh my God, he has a son that now is also in the stunt world. He did Man on the Moon, but I can't even start with what he's done from the beginning to now. I think he's 80 something years old right now.
Oh, wow.
And he has trained the top. I've known him for 35, 40 years. And he has been training people in the stunt world and wrestling, and just an amazing guy. He has a dojo in Hollywood still to this day.
Oh, wow. He's still doing wrestling training at 80-something years
Yes.
old?
Yes, he is. Gene LaBelle is amazing.
Talk about a passion for the world, man, for that kind of wrestling.
How about Fabulous Moolah Mae Young? You ever meet those two ladies?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome.
So, Spice Williams, too. She's the one that helped train me.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what made you leave wrestling and move into like doing stunts instead of staying in like wrestling and stuff back then?
Well, it wasn't really leaving it. It was the people that I was working with, which, you know, Spice Williams, Gene LaBelle, they were actually going into more stunt work. Well, Gene LaBelle was already doing it. So was Spice. And that's where I started talking to people about doing stunt work because I loved the industry. I mean, I was already an actress and a singer and all that, so why not, you know, go from wrestling to stunts? And that's what I did for 25-plus years, and then radio and voices and so on and so on. It's all the same field, so, yeah.
Right. And you said that I saw that you worked at Knott's Berry Farm. Is that the amusement park in California?
Yes, I worked at Knott's Berry Farm on the Wild West stunt team for 2 years. So.
And what kind of stunts do you do? It was just one of those shows you did so many times a day, kind of like they have it.
That was it. It was a show that you did and took lots. There's probably thousands and thousands of pictures of me out there with my cowgirl outfit.
So what was that show like? Like what kind of stunts were, what, it was a cowboy themed show or was it a lot of different things or?
No, it was one cowboy themed, you know, shooting guns, high falls, falling into water, lots of action. I mean, it was a stunt action show. So lots of action.
Oh, was it like did it have like a story and like everybody was like, kind of like a character? Oh, okay, I got
you. Yeah, it was a Wild West stunt show, and it was the biggest thing. You know, everybody that went to not to see any shows, that was the main show to go see. So,
oh, awesome. Lots. So how many times a day, how many times a day did you do the same show over and over again?
In the summertime, 5-6 times. And then in when October came around, you know, for the, you know, Halloween haunt, we were doing a lot of shows. We would do those shows during the day, and then at night we would do the Halloween haunt shows. And the, if you've ever been, well, you haven't, but Knott's Scary Farm has the best Halloween haunt show ever. And, I mean, it's just amazing because they make fun of everything that happened in that year. When I was in it, it was Susan Powders and some crazy, crazy stuff back then, and Forrest Gump. And then we did stunts and, you know, and kind of a little show with it. And it's usually the best show, Halloween Haunt.
So you did the same show 5 or 6 times a day, 5 days a week, 5 days a week for two years?
Yeah, and I was only there 2 years. Some people were there 15, 20 years.
Wow. But yep. I mean, I guess it just becomes second nature at some point because you're doing the same stunt every day. It's like you don't even have to think about it. It's just kind of you get used to doing it.
But that's the thing is you kind of have to. When you're doing stunt work, we've had a couple accidents, you know, things that were pretty major that I wouldn't even go into. Ooh. Yeah, if you don't think about it, or even if you do, you could still have an accident, and there's still people getting hurt, and, you know. So, yeah, you got to think about it. So, yeah, every day you just go to work and go, okay, am I ready for this? So
definitely glad you're still with us, because I know it's dangerous work.
Yeah, well, and then I can imagine, like, say you're doing a show like that, and, like, you get one new person that fills in because someone leaves, and then all of a sudden there's one guy, it's his first show, and everybody else has done it 30 times, and you're like, oh God, I hope this one guy does what he's supposed to do.
Yes, it's all trust. It is so trust. That's why even they do auditions, you really have to know the people and train them well. And we had the best people training us too. So yeah, it was scary. I mean, you know, it's just like the stunt world now today. It's the exact same thing, but you know, now you're going to a movie set and you're going to do a major stunt and you're trusting everybody around you because, you know, that's why the stunt industry is very tight. They use a lot of the same people all the time because it's a trust thing. It's really important.
Right. Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Now, you did stunts for the original Power Rangers TV show?
Yes, I did.
What character were you?
Yeah, which ranger did you do stunts for?
Monsters. I did stunts for all the monsters, a lot of monsters.
Oh, the monsters.
Which monsters?
Yeah. Which monster? Go and watch, see how many.
All of them.
I'll send you some pictures. I'll send you some pictures of my outfits and things.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So I looked it up. Yeah, I say you did like, it said like 17 episodes of the show. That's at least the first season, right? If not more.
Yeah, I think I did a lot more than that, but those are the ones I knew, you know, to write down and put in.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, I did a lot. That was back then.
Wow, so she's a millionaire.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Why do you think I'm not doing stunt work anymore? I'm doing voiceovers only because I can't. Kind of ruined my back, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear.
Yeah, I imagine over time. Like, right. Now, was it now you also did a Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Buffy the Vampire Slayer show?
I did
an unaired pilot?
Yep. I did a bunch of them. No, they didn't put everything up there. I did a whole bunch of them too. I played a wife a couple times, and then I did a bunch of background stunt stuff. So background
and
stunt
this is
stuff.
The one with this is the one with Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah,
the one that the real prominent show. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And it's so far long ago, but it seems like yesterday to me. It's so weird.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, you said that you were in Man on the Moon, that you wrestled Jim Carrey.
Yep. My name is actually at the beginning of that, which is the coolest thing in the world. When you're a stunt person, you only see your name real quick on this one. You get to see it coming up at the very beginning, and it stops on my name and flashes. So it's kind of cool.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty awesome. Now, which is that the word that he was wrestling the woman on the late night talk show?
Yeah, that was an Andy Kaufman thing.
You.
Yeah. Andy Kaufman, oh my God, I'll tell you the whole thing with Jim Carrey. He is a wonderful guy and he stayed in character for that whole thing. But we all, well, not everybody knew. A lot of people thought he was such a jerk, but he really wasn't a jerk. He was being Andy Kaufman, being Jim. Oh, it was crazy. But he was a great guy.
You know what's funny? They just actually put out a documentary about that. Yep. Like about how he was so not himself, and everyone thought he was a giant asshole during the whole filming, but he was trying to be Andy Kaufman for that whole
method
time.
Method actor.
Yep. Yeah. And he wasn't really a method actor, but he turned into one at that. You know, he's like, I'm going to be Andy Kaufman the whole time. And he was. So, yeah, it was really, really funny.
How long did that – were you only on the set for like a day or two for that, or is that something where you had to stick around for other things if they needed you? Or
Yeah, I was on the set for, I guess, the first week and a half, and then we didn't even really work. We were just on the set for a week, and then I came back for I think it was like 3-4 days, and that one scene that we did, it's like 2 seconds, 4 seconds long, something like that, a montage of the wrestlers. You could see my face. You could see that I'm wrestling. It took – couple days, 45 minutes in the ring each time with him, and yet I'm in it for just a few seconds.
Wow. So it's amazing all the footage they shoot that they cut out of the movie. Oh, they take the best clips or whatever.
Yes, and luckily I was in those clips, thank God.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that's very cool. That now I saw it. Also, you did stunts for the movie Swordfish with John Travolta and them.
Oh,
what
I did,
were you doing in that?
I did car stunts. I did a bunch of movies. I did TV movies. I did a ton of things. I mean, I couldn't even go into it. I'd have to have my resume sitting in front of me to remember everything.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
But yeah,
So what type of stunts were your favorite stunts? Did you prefer car stunts or falling stunts, or like what did you specialize in? Was there a certain type of stunt that you wanted to do? Or
no, it was wrestling was my specialty because I was good at it and real trained by the best. But I also driving. I love doing driving stuff, stunts, driving. I learned from a very amazing professional named Bobby Orr, who I think today is still training people for stunt driving. To this day.
Yeah, I've heard of
him. And he's up there in age as well. But I think he still does it because he used to be the only guy that could go take a truck up on two wheels. And now he's trained other people. So now there's a bunch of people in the world that could actually take a truck up on two wheels. So it's pretty cool. That's my favorite.
Can you take a car on two wheels?
I can't. I never learned that. Oh, okay. That's a really, really, really hard thing to learn. And that's why he was one of the only people that could do it. But no, I could do a lot of other things that you'd be amazed. I could do circles around.
Like what kind
around.
Of car stunts would you do? Would you do like jumping stunts with cars, or like what kind of car stunts have you done?
I could drive in circles. I could drive very fast and do a complete 360. I could do anything you see on TV. You see all these car stunts, these people driving, stopping fast, or just barely hitting a car and making it look like you really hit it. Things like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I love it.
That's it. Yep. And did you say that you taught people stunt driving a little bit?
Yes, I did. I helped at Bobby Orr's school back in, oh my God, that was 15, 20 years ago. But yeah, I used to help in Ventura is where his stunt school was. Camarillo, sorry. And I used to help with the cops. We used to actually teach cops how to do chases. Cops from everywhere, every state came to his classes to learn how. So I had respect of cops at the time. At first, they hated learning from a woman until they realized what I could do. And then it was kind of like, okay, well, we'll listen to you. So, yeah, the cops out there that know how to chase, they learned probably – or that have learned years ago, learn from me.
So, like, basically, like, the tricks of the trade about how to, like, narrowly, like, maneuver traffic, things like that.
Pit
like,
maneuvers, everything, yep. Yep.
Oh wow, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So then after stunt work, you moved into being a radio DJ?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yep. Country radio. I did that for 10 years. I was a country radio personality, I guess. Morning show, afternoon. You know, all the fun stuff.
Now, did you do were you like the DJ in between songs, or did you have like a little show, like a radio show type deal, or?
Yes, all of it.
Oh, awesome.
I did all of that. Yeah. Of that. I did morning show, which was kind of crazy. Pepper and PJ did that. Did afternoon drive time. And then I did, you know, country. But in Paso Robles, California, there's a fair. A big gigantic fair that is like the biggest fair around. And we would have the country artists, they'd all come out and we'd get to introduce them. And I'd open up for them singing, you know, being in a band and stuff. I got to open up for Toby Keith one time and Blake Shelton, which was really cool. So, oh, yeah. That's cool.
Now, are you a country music fan?
Of course I am.
Because I always wondered if people who work on the radio and work at a format, like, you know, say someone works at a country music station, but they don't listen to country music. They prefer listening to, like, rock, but take it because of the job, you know?
Most people don't. They just take the job. But with me, I looked for, really? Yeah, I looked for a radio DJ and in what I loved, which was rock and roll or country. And I found country. I did get to do hip hop at one time, but you could tell I didn't like it.
It just came across like it, while you're like, yeah, that was that guy. Yeah. He sang a song, I guess.
Yes, I did it for like 2 months in Idaho, in Boise, Idaho. And I was like, what the hell? Here's
that
song again.
How's the hip-hop scene in Boise, Idaho is what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I can't imagine the Boise hip-hop scene being very big. That's crazy.
Oh, God. It was always the same songs over and over. I mean, I can't remember right now some of this, the girl songs, the hip hop crazy.
Oh, like the R&B.
Yeah.
Like
the R&B same ones over and over, over and over, over and over. It's like, wait, I just heard this 20 minutes ago. Single Lady. That song was always playing. I remember it very well. Oh my God. Yeah.
So what was your most favorite and least favorite part about doing radio DJing?
My most favorite was getting to go to Nashville all the time to CRS, which was Country Radio Seminar. I got to go and see all the stars and party with them. That was probably the best part.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the perks of that. Now, was there, what didn't you like about being on the radio?
I can't even think of what I didn't like.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Wow.
So, and then you said and then you had a radio show. You said it was Pepper and PJ. Was that was like the morning show?
Yeah, that was when I first started out. That was in the morning, and that was pretty crazy. Yeah, he liked to hear himself talk. I think he still does to this day.
So you did a radio show the first couple hours of the day, then you did drive time in the afternoon later.
Yeah,
later on.
Yeah, and then I mean that through the years, I ended up just doing afternoons. Those were my times because that's what I liked.
You like doing the afternoon better than early
morning? I don't like getting up at 4 in the morning. Who does? To go to work. It doesn't matter what you're doing.
Right. Well, and you have to get up at 4 a.m. and then talk for 3 or 4 hours straight about all sorts of random stuff.
After like 10 cups of coffee, and then you're finally awake after the first 2 hours. God.
Right, and you go, what the hell did we talk about the first 2 hours on the show?
Yeah, and you messed up a lot, but hey, that happens.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So then what made you move into voiceovers and animation and things like that? You said you've been doing that the last couple of years?
Well, actually, I've been doing voiceover for years, like 20 years, but never full time. It was only off and on. I would do little voices for, little story times and things like that. And then on the radio for 15 years, 10 years, all the commercials that people would come in to hire somebody to do, I would get to, do all the voices in the commercials. And that's where it started again. I was like, wait, this I really love. And I knew I wasn't going to be doing stunt work forever. So I kind of had to get better at voices. And, so now I have 50-something voices and can do them all. And, I love it. And I don't have to go crazy and hurt myself.
Yeah, that's always good, right? Any job you don't have to hurt yourself. So what is there any particular voiceover project that you've done any time in your past that stands out as like the one you did the one you had the most fun doing or the most prominent one that people would recognize you from? Or
no,
like
I mean, I did Nestle cookies. I mean, I've done ABC commercials, CBS. Just, basically when you're hired back then as voiceover, the only thing I haven't done Disney or movies, which animation, which is what I really am trying to do. But all the things that you would get hired for, you'd come in and read. So I did a lot of TV commercials, then you hear my voice. Mm-hmm. It's just, you don't I can't exactly say, okay, here's the exact ones. I could go back and listen to all of them and look for everything and write them all down. But I've done so many in the last 15 years. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Right, right.
Any video games?
Yeah, I just did a couple video games. As far as I know, when I just did them, they're brand new and nobody knows about them yet, but they're like, oh my goodness, I wish I had that written down. Should have told me, I would have wrote it down. It's a new game coming out, and yeah, it's like fight games. All these popular fight games coming out, so. Yeah, I gotta do the voices! Ah! You know?
So, yeah. That's pretty cool. I think getting into the gaming voiceovers is probably.
Yes.
A good industry as well, because there's so many different characters.
A million. So, yeah, and if you can get a good one and just keep with it, then that's good. But hiring for movies for Disney-type stuff or, you know, whatever else is out there, that's what my main thing is. That's what I'm been trying to get seriously into. So,
well, if anyone from Disney happens to be listening to the Crazy Town podcast.
You never know.
All three of us are available.
All three of us are definitely available for anything you need. So we have a couple random questions that, you know, we like to ask people, you know, we have on this show.
No.
So yeah, I take it. Do you eat pizza? Do you like
pizza? I love pizza.
Okay. If you could only have the same two topping pizza every time you ordered pizza from now to your rest of your life, cheeses included, what two toppings do you pick on your pizza?
Canadian bacon and pineapple.
The hot questions.
Man, you're the third person to say that.
So quick.
Yeah.
I expected you to think about that a little bit.
That's my favorite.
So,
right up.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can do that.
Pineapple. I went with a double bacon and a TNT over here goes double mushroom.
Ooh,
pineapple
yum.
Doesn't belong on a pizza, though.
Pineapple doesn't belong on pizza?
No.
That's when you're one of those guys?
I'm definitely one of those guys.
I'm indifferent. Whatever. Whatever you want, man.
Add anything on a pizza and it belongs. Add a cookie. You know, it just depends on the person. Put ketchup on it. Who knows?
I saw a picture.
That's blasphemy.
I saw a picture online yesterday or 2 days ago where someone had put Peeps on the pizza. Like Easter Peeps and like melted them on. It was like a cheese pizza with like Peeps melted on it. I don't know.
That's pretty gross, disgusting.
That sounds weird.
To each
his
own.
Okay, now the next one. Right, exactly. Now the next one. If you could mix together any two animals to create a new animal where logistics isn't a problem, and you could literally mate any two animals and create a new animal, what animal?
A dog and a horse. My two favorite.
A dog.
Yeah,
and
my
a horse.
Two favorite.
So, but would it be like a horse-sized dog, or like a dog-sized
horse,
or like
a
how would
dog.
You
horse-sized dog? Because we don't have that. We have dog-sized horses, but we don't have horse-sized dogs.
Do we have dog-sized horses?
Yeah, I guess mini ponies and stuff are kind of little horses.
Yeah, they have little horses.
Okay, so would it be like a horse body with a dog head and a horse tail, or like
Or
would he have the dog claws, or would he
have
hooves?
The horse or the dog personality in every way? So it would be a gigantic dog, basically, that would have, you know, the horse head, maybe horse ears and the neigh, but yet would still have the personality of a complete dog, like my lab, a gigantic lab.
And you could saddle it up and ride it, so you could just ride your lab around. That would be pretty awesome. I actually mixed a cheetah and a horse. Together, that was I just figured it would be a killing machine.
Yep.
It would be like the size of a horse, but as fast as a cheetah with like claws.
Yay!
Yeah. I mixed a gorilla with a butterfly because I would like an army of those to help.
Yeah,
me.
A gorilla with butterfly wings. That'd be a pretty sweet animal, right? That'd be scary as shit.
Oh,
if you saw
good
those
lord!
Big
a flying gorilla? Hell no!
But he has big, beautiful monarch butterfly wings, so he looks pretty as he's coming.
Okay, that's
you.
Comical. That's actually very comical. Yeah. Jesus,
like that. So, and one last little one. If you could make any animal the size of like a house cat to keep in your house, what animal would you shrink down and have living with you?
Well, a monkey, but you already have monkeys shrunk down. So, I like monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah, monkeys are sweet. I think having a spider monkey run around your house would be interesting.
Destroying things when they don't get attention. 24-hour day attention. They're worse than kids. But they would be fun.
Oh,
they would be fun.
You, You've had a pet monkey in the past. You make it sound like you.
Yeah, well, at Knott's Berry Farm, the animal show, I got friends that are, you know, that train animals. So I've been around all that kind of stuff, especially the monkeys. And I like them, but I wouldn't have one.
Okay. Yeah. It's like ferrets. I think ferrets are super cool, but then they're not
they
very
stink.
Often actually have.
They like stink.
Yes. They do stink, absolutely. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I covered pretty much everything I had. Do you want to tell everybody again where they can find you online? So if they want to look you up,
you can
or
find me
like
at pjsvoices.com or just Google me or IMDb me, PJ Stover, or just put my name in anywhere and it comes up, I would hope. But yeah, I'm on voices.com.
Right.
I'm on voicerealm.com. Yes, I am on fiverr.com, but my prices are not $5 or $10, so they're a lot more.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Do you do if other podcasts want to get a hold of you to help do their intros or things like that? Is
yep.
that something that you're. That
yep,
you
I'm
will,
absolutely. Okay. I've done them for you. I did them
yeah,
for you.
Yeah. So, absolutely. So, but yeah, that's anybody out there who needs any voiceover work done at all, hit her up. She's very talented. So,
aww.
But we do want to thank you for taking time out of your day to stop by and talk to
us.
Oh,
thank
bit.
You for having me. I'm so excited. I had such a good time. You guys are hilarious.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And then, we will be right back on the Crazy Town podcast. All right, everybody. That is all the time that we have for today's episode of the Crazy Town podcast. We do want to thank everybody for listening.
Thanks, PJ Stover.
I do want to thank PJ Stover for coming on and interviewing with us. It's a long time coming for that interview. She's great. I really enjoy her. You want anything you want to pimp out here? You want to talk about your stuff?
Yeah, dude. Fucking, yeah, you can find me. I'm on Twitter, TNT at Twitter. .com. You can find me right next to Charleston Heston's page because we have such similar interests. I never knew it, but yeah, we do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
What has
Charleston Heston done?
Charles Heston?
Charleston Heston? Isn't that his name?
I think it's Charles Heston. I don't think it's Charleston Heston.
It's not Charleston Heston?
It's Charles. The guy who was on Planet of the Apes and now he's the NRA guy?
He was?
Oh, wow.
I didn't know he was in Planet of the Apes. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was.
All right. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm below him. Anyway. Fuck
yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm
like,
there.
Get your hand off me, you damn filthy.
You damn dirty.
Yeah.
Hey.
Okay.
Him.
Yeah.
Charles Heston.
I think it's Charles. I don't know, dude.
Yeah. Well, if he's right.
Mr. Heston.
If Jonas is right, thumbs down on the video. If Jonas is wrong, thumbs up on
How
the video.
How about thumbs up either way on the video?
I want.
It's great. I don't want down thing in case I'm wrong.
That's true.
All right. Please reach out and give us some feedback, whether it's on iTunes, you want to shoot us a message on Twitter, it's at the Crazy Town Pod or at Crazy Town Media. Our website, of course, cornucopia of continuous information, thecrazytown.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Crazy Town Media over there on YouTube. We also are on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/thecrazytownpodcast. That is it today.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. Well, you sound disappointed.
You know.
You want to talk more about depressing ass robots and Google and everybody infiltrating our bodies?
Privacies? Yeah. You know, Google's fingers may be a little obstructive at first, but I mean, all right. That is everything we got for you today. For TNT Dynamite and for Jonas, we are out.
Over.